If you want to read scripture with us tonight and follow along, I'm going to read in the book of Daniel out of the 6th chapter for a few verses. And I just want to share this thought that came by my way from the Lord today. It's an exciting thought. It's an encouraging thought. And I hope that it is of help to you. So Daniel in the 6th chapter, and we'll start at verse 10. We'll go ahead and begin. And it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." Now, can I just go ahead and dig into a little bit of this already, if you don't mind? Isn't it just like your enemy that when he doesn't want you to do something and finds you doing it, that he's going to find you in the act and try to rat you out? You come in and you worship God and you have a good time, and isn't it just like the devil to find some way to make you feel embarrassed, to make you feel ashamed of yourself, to make you not feel proud of what you've been doing? I'm here to tell you that's the devil's design, but I'm here to tell you he ain't the winner in this. Let's read on. It gets better. Verse 12. "And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, that Doris, that Jared, that so-and-so came to church the other night and decided they were going to obey God." Isn't it funny how that if we just didn't try to inject ourselves inside of someone's testimony, that we can find it a lot more relatable than we think it is? You see, if you read this a little bit more clearly into your life than just a testimony of Daniel being delivered from lions, you'll realize this is more about you than you think it is. That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. I can just imagine the context is around, can you believe that guy? 3 times a day. We could just about say that about Christians today. It'd almost be absurd if someone's even said that we prayed 3 times a day. Let alone if there was a law against it, that'd even be more absurd. Tough crowd tonight. Verse 14. "And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, 'Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes,'" I know I'm butchering that, forgive me, "'and Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed.' So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.'" Now, wait a minute. Is that a misprint? Hold on. Isn't he supposed to be speaking in the context of doubt? Isn't that how normal defiance would go? But he's saying, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Then the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Now I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Now there's a lot of amazing things that are going on right here. But I want to back up just a little bit and start talking about this as it applies to you. Now you've got a lot of things going on in your life that are trying to have you not be the kind of Christian you're called to be. Would you agree with that? You've got a lot of politics that are calling for you to be a little more watered down. You've got a lot of political correctness that are calling for you to be less radical than you are today. Can you say amen? You've got a lot more Christians today that want you to be a little more watered down than you are today. Can you say amen? You've got a lot of preachers that want other preachers to stop preaching it so hard anymore, so that people will keep coming back to church. Because, brother, if you preach it too hard, no one will want to come back and hear about their sin. No one wants to hear about their problems being talked about. No one wants to hear about changing anything. No one wants to hear about having their issues be addressed. No one wants to hear about bondages being delivered from. They just want to come in. They want to be patted on. They want to be rocked to sleep. Brother, you have got to cut this out. We are under a pressure today like we have never been before, to stand under a decree that the world has placed before us, that when they play their sound of political correctness, when they play their sound of watered down religion, that we're supposed to just bow down to what we have been called upon to do. But my friend, I'm reminded of a scripture here today where there was a man of God that was in his 80s at the time, that had some integrity about him, that took a stand for what he believed in. He didn't try to seek it in a private manner. He opened up his windows so that everybody that he knew would be aware of who he was believing in. I wish to God that we'd be able to open up the windows of our churches, open up the doors of our churches, turn up the loudspeakers, turn up the radios, open up the internet and the hearts and mouths of our people, so that we would make the world more aware of what is coming. The world doesn't know what is coming because they're being rocked to sleep with the sound of what the world is telling them. But I'm here to tell you, friend, one day there's going to be a very real hell that is upon us, and we better be ready for what is coming. Now that's the truth. Like it or not, that's the truth. You've got a lot of things that are trying to take you out of being called, anointed, and take you out of your ability to choose willingly to do it. Okay? Now, in this particular case, Daniel was being provoked with a temptation of fear to bow and not obey God as he had known it his whole life. We as human beings are creatures of habit. If you have been a certain way for a long time, it's going to take a long time to break your habits, lest it be from God Himself to change you. And chances are, if you've been working and studying in the Scriptures, it's going to take a whole lot of things to try and beat you down away from reading and studying the Scriptures. But we find that there are some people, some enemies, some high-minded political figures that were trying to find a loophole in destroying the influence of Daniel. You see, Daniel was highly regarded in this time. There were people that saw his influence in how he believed. There were people that probably lived in his day that kept their belief in God because he kept his belief in God. Have you ever met anybody in your lifetime that has inspired you to hold on another day? Have you ever been influenced by people that just by their presence helped you to be encouraged? Isn't that what we're supposed to be for one another? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing tonight? We're supposed to be the kind of figures that when people see our no compromise to the world standing out and being set apart kind of attitude, that it makes them want to be a Christian more than it is to be bled into the world in the gray area. We ought to be the kind of people that when people hear what we speak and the way that we believe and the kind of way that we carry ourselves, it makes them feel like they need to be set apart from the way that they've been living. If they feel more compelled to live in the world, if they feel more compelled to watch that garbage on TV, if they feel more compelled, oh, to live in sin than they do to be in the house of God, then we're not standing in the Daniel kind of influence to make them feel like there is something worth fighting for. Oh, my friend, do you hear the sound of the world pulling you away? You may not understand what I'm talking about tonight, but it's out there today. It might be on your television that makes you bow. It might be your discouragement that makes you bow. But oh, my friend, there is a very present enemy that makes you afraid of being who you are. It's out there. Look over at your enemy and say, fear is out there. But look over at your neighbor and also tell him, but Daniel didn't bow. Daniel didn't bow. And tell yourself this, I'm not going to bow. Say that like you mean it tonight. I'm not going to bow. Tell me like you mean it. Let me hear you say it. I'm not going to bow. All right, I almost believe you. Let me hear it like you mean it tonight. I'm not going to bow. All right, I almost believe you. We'll work on that in a minute. We're getting there. We're almost ready for the lion's den. So they find the loophole. And they take this kind-hearted, devout, loving man of God before the king, who quite honestly loved Daniel's influence too. How do you know that, brother? Because even in his punishment, he honored Daniel's beliefs. In his words to him, he says, your God whom you serve. He didn't say who we serve. He said who you serve. He said, your God who you serve will deliver you. He was honoring his God because he cared about Daniel. Now, isn't that amazing that even if there was a difference in belief, that Daniel could walk in such a way that his love would make someone of influence love him? What does that tell me? That means that no matter how high a government figure can be, that if they can be in our midst, we can be an influence to them. Did you know that? Yes, you can. I heard a president once say, yes, we can, but I'm going to say, yes, you can. You can be an influence. It's time that we stop making ourselves think that we have no ability of influence. You do. Your words, your behavior influences something. Have you ever skipped a rock on the water? Or maybe you were like me and you weren't as talented as skipping rocks, so you'd go find find the biggest one and just throw it as hard as you could and look for the splash. I tried to do both. I wasn't really good at both. And so I'd get two or three buddies and we'd get the really big rock and see how big that one would splash. But let me tell you, no matter the size of the rock, there's always a ripple. Right? This was the beginning of his influence from the very top of this kingdom at this time. But it started with a man in his home with an open window. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? This starts where? At home. Can you say that with me tonight? This starts at home. This miracle, this transformation started at home. It's wonderful when we have amazing moves of God, but I'm telling you, when you have amazing moves of God, that means somebody brought it with them from home. This is just a building. People are bringing God wherever they are coming from. So let's go on. So they seal it up. They put their signets on, the seal of approval. It's a done deal. This guy ain't going to make it. So rather than doing the normal celebratory music, rather than letting it be a normal night of the king, there are no musicians that night. Do you know why? The king was disturbed in his mind. He couldn't rest. Something was happening. My Lord and my God. Let me tell you about the power of God in the spiritual realm. When you begin to influence around your enemies, they'll no longer be satisfied by the sound of the world. You'll begin to cause an unrest amongst your devils that are trying to destroy you. And they'll start sitting up in unrest, wondering if they're really going to be able to get victory over you in your life. Let me tell you, I had my lion's den moment in my life. I had my lion's den moment where the devil thought surely they was going to destroy me. But let me tell you something. They didn't have their chance with me. They didn't have their chance with Daniel. And you're sitting here today and they didn't have their chance with you. And if you're still sitting here today, those lions don't have any power. Not over you today, not over you tomorrow, and not over you, not all the way until you get to heaven. And as long as you claim your influence under the power of God, you'll have authority. Now I'm going to go on, but let me ask you, do you want this part right here? So he comes to the den, he yells as if he was expecting. Daniel! Oh, I feel him all over me tonight. Daniel! Let me tell you something. It speaks volumes about how the lions had no power. Lions by nature are alpha to attack. They are predators. They are out to destroy. And there is nothing, even if it is bigger than they are, that persuades them that they are going to lose the fight. What I'm trying to tell you is there would be nothing in that moment when the door was closed, when they were with a feeble person in front of them, that would have prevented them from destroying this flesh in front of them. There was no force, there was no barrier, there was nothing keeping them in the physical realm from absolutely tearing this flesh shreds. So there had to be something. Oh, hallelujah. There had to be something else that was going on in that stone-sealed room. There had to be something else
that was going on in that place. If you're coming to church just looking for physical things, then you're missing out on what happened in the lion's den. Don't just say, "I'm glad the lions didn't get him." Think about that. I'm glad that God had power over the lions.
All power and authority. Not one scratch. It wasn't just 10 minutes. It wasn't just 3 hours. Have you seen these zoo videos on YouTube with gorillas and children? How quick they move and how soon accidents happen. And it's just minutes. But we're not talking about minutes. We're not talking about just a few hours. We're talking overnight. So just imagine, I just want you to get in perspective God's authority over the enemy. Imagine the minutes that are ticking by, and these lions are just looking at something that they can't touch. Oh, I feel this all over me. Looking at something that they can't have. I don't know if you're praying for your children that the enemy can't touch them, but if you're wanting the kind of protection that God put on those lions that day where they couldn't touch Daniel, you're going to have to be as bold as he was to stand against the enemy, even if that means it might destroy you. What power? What authority? Was Daniel in there rebuking the lions? Did he have to do anything more than what he'd already done? No. It was already done. Now hear me under the sound of my voice tonight. Oh, this is amazing. Jesus Christ died for us. He went into a stone-sealed room and stood in our place and came out of there, that where sin wanted to take us like those lions did. Now sin, all it can do is look at us but cannot take us. My Lord and my God, if we can't chew on that steak, I can't give you no bottles tonight, friends. All I've got's meat for you in this place. Where sin could have destroyed, it no longer could take. But it's something that you've got to take hold of yourself and you've got to stand up for. He said, "He who the Son has set free, he is free indeed." And he said he called you to be free and separated. Free and separated. What was Daniel? He was free and separate. He didn't bow to the music. Don't you dare bow. We don't have time to bow to disobedience. Do you hear me tonight? Enough is enough. One day, these old bodies will be no more. And somebody will give my funeral. And this old thing will finally have all the rest it ever wanted. And people will talk about how they'll miss me. People will talk about all the things I accomplished in my lifetime, where I went to school, the field I was in, the loved ones I leave behind. But above all that I know, and above all that I've accomplished, I hope that I am known as being a man that does not bow. You want to get real about seeing change? You want to talk to me about being different? Don't bow. You want to tell me you want to be on fire? You want to tell me you want to be different? When you have all the voices in your head telling you to sit down, let the one voice inside of you that's saying stand up be the one that's the loudest. Glory to God. I tell you this tonight. This is harder than I thought it'd be when I got here. But I have no regrets. I'm what I tell you tonight.
Because even in this delivery, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to be remembered as a coward when it came time to tell you the truth. I'm not going to be remembered as somebody that looks back and says, when it got hard, that I sat down. I'm not going to be a guy that looks back and says, when they needed to be saved, that I wasn't ready. Church, you better be ready. When the music starts playing, that you'll know what is God's and you'll know what is the enemy's, because they'll sound the same, but one will be different.
Friends, we're just here together for a season. Where you may go and where I may go may be two different paths one day. That's why it's so important to reap the moments that stand in front of us now. And as you sit in the moment that you're in, you have to realize something. I'm serious about this message tonight. I don't know what you came for. You have your health. You have your mind. You generally could afford to come, right? You had the ability to choose whether to participate and be involved or not. And there are people that are not here because they did not have those things I just said. And I'm going to be very plain. Just like that, you could lose one of those. And then one day you'll be sitting at home and you'll be asking yourself, did I do enough? Listen to me. Don't you dare bow to your enemy. I say this not only as a friend and as a churchgoer and as somebody that has poured his heart out here for a long time, but I say this under the authority of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Do not bow to the sound of the enemy. The voice will come in cunning. It will come to make you angry. It will come to sit you down. It'll come and tell you you're too tired tonight. It comes to tell you you're not worthy. It comes to tell you life's not worth living. It comes to tell you you were never called to do this anyway. It comes to bring fear upon you where you never will do it again. You see, they didn't want Daniel to necessarily die. They just wanted to kill his influence. Do you understand where we're coming from? You see, there are a lot of people that still live today that don't go to church. And they probably live okay lives. But they're probably not happy in general. But you see what the devil did? He destroyed their influence. And what did the scripture call for us to do that are standing with all the things we talk about that we have sitting here? Those that are strong. We are in possession of something that gives us the advantage. That's what that means. Those that are in possession of something gives them the advantage ought to use that to help someone that doesn't have one. People that don't understand, people that are weak, people that need help. I'll share this and I'll try to wrap this up. I was so thankful when I was younger that God gave me the ability to sing and play music. I loved it. And I don't know if you can notice or not, but I still love it. I do. If you can't tell, I love it. It's my heart. I love it. It's me. It's who I am. And it took me a long time to ever realize I was called to preach because I enjoyed loving God in worship so much in music. Took me a long time to figure that out. But above just being me, you know what I've learned? What I enjoy doing is giving other people the advantage to enjoy it as much as me. Because when you influence other people to believe in themselves to do something they didn't think they could do, it empowers them to believe in themselves in a way they never thought they could. Then it really isn't about an instrument, right? And that's what I'm trying to get across tonight. We can label ourselves with a calling if we want, but I don't really believe in that. You can call me an evangelist, that's great. You can call me a teacher, preacher, whatever fits the bill for you, that's fine. You can call me crazy. Some of you, that might work too. Whatever it is, what you want to say, that's fine. Whatever fits the bill. But what I begin to learn is that I am what I believe in myself to be. But I didn't start believing in me until I started believing in Him. And when I started believing in Him, the scripture came alive that said, I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens who? Me. I can do it with Him through me. So then I realized, if I believe in Him and He is in me and He is my strength, then there is nothing impossible to me. So anything that I can do to help others, that's what I want to do. Because if I can help you believe in yourself more than what you already believe today, then you're believing in something more. And it's not about the object. It's not about the song. It's not about an instrument. It's about in believing in yourself. It's believing in Him and believing in you. You see, Daniel had a very strong belief in his God, but he also believed in himself and his faith in Him. And that's what his influence made him such a great man. That's why I feel like God honored his influence and the lions had no power. If he was the kind of man that had church, like we try to come in and do half-hearted church, I'd have a bad feeling if we were thrown in the den together. If we were thrown in tonight, do you think we'd make it? I'm talking, don't just throw me in there. We're one body. We're going together or not at all. If we all went in together, for this service, for this obedience, do you think we'd make it? That's how we ought to hold ourselves accountable. We ought to be as devout in our services to worship God as Daniel was in prayer to God. Our home life should represent that kind of devoutness. And we ought to have that kind of spiritual influence that when we're around people that don't even believe, that it makes them want to believe. Now let's fast forward to the end of this. Now what happens when he comes out of the tomb? He pulls him out of the den, and everyone else and their families that had tried to accuse got put in. And they didn't even make it to the ground before the lions were already trying to consume them. Now think about that. That's how quick they wanted to ravage. And that's how quick, without God's influence and authority, that will fall short. Isn't that something to swallow? Is that something to think about for Monday? I hope it is. I hope this has been a real, real sermon for you. But the most amazing thing about all of this that God spoke to me was just to consider His authority. That it wasn't just a few minutes. It wasn't just a couple. It wasn't just an hour. It was overnight.
And you can just imagine that moment where this feeble man that could not have defended himself from many lions in darkness, yet was not harmed. That's God's power over your enemy. If you can be that devout with God, then you can be at peace with your enemy. Do you hear what I'm telling you? You can go to bed at night and say, Lord, even though my lion is locked up in this den with me right now, I am at peace and know it shall not harm me. Do you know that? There's some of you that needed this, and I'm glad I made it here for you. But above all that, for some of you, I'm challenging you to this. Are you ready? We're just going to keep on with this. I want you to think about 2 to 3 people this week that you can reach out to, that you know that's going through a hard time. Because we as a church are starting a campaign. Because it's time. We all have homework to do, and it's time that we start rebuilding. Not in the building itself only, but inside the building. We've got to start reaching out. So think of 2 to 3 people that you can just send love to. Let them know you love them. And then this week as you pray, think of 2 to 3 things that when you go to obey God that keep you in your seat, that discourage you, whatever those things are, start praying about them so that when you get in here, you just do it. Because I'll tell you the truth, there was one time that I prayed to God about, Lord, I can't obey you because I'm too tired. You know what the Lord spoke to me? Take a nap. It wasn't any big revelation. It was pretty common sense stuff I got back. Just take a nap. So I started taking naps on Sunday afternoons, and I came in and was far more effective after that. So sometimes it doesn't have to be hard. But if you find things that are giving you hurdles from coming in and obeying him, then seek for that. So seek for yourself for things that are your struggle, and then think of other individuals other than you that you can reach out to, because we need to start bringing people back into the house of God and start making them feel a part of something again. Go ahead and stand with us. I'm going to stop right there. Is there anyone that still feels burdened or led in their heart to come and pray before we dismiss tonight?